It's a very, very simple, but I actually saw this. No, not saw it. It was written up in the, anyone who read the Yeshiva's newsletter. They have a newsletter for the elementary school goes out, and they ask sometimes Rosh Yeshivas to write something in there. So one of the Rosh Yeshivas, I won't mention which one, but he wrote this Dvar Torah up. So, okay, it says in the Parsha, in the last week's Parsha, that Eliezer wants to look for a shidduch for Avram, for Yitzchak. So he goes ahead and he makes this siman. And obviously there's some logic to the siman. This is whoever, but it's also a siman. And sure enough, what happens? As soon as he finishes saying exactly what he says, he sees, Vahiyu terem kila ledaber. So he finishes saying, so Rivka comes out, and exactly the siman that he says, she does. Right? Pretty miraculous. Right? Pretty miraculous. So he goes ahead, and he tells us over to Lavan and Bethuel, who are not the greatest tzaddikim. And what is their reaction? The reaction is, he tells them exactly the story, Vanit Tarmek Ledaber, and he named Rivka Yotseis, and she does exactly what I said. So they say, Vayan Lavan Ubisuel, Vayimru, May Hashem Yatsa Dover. Velnuchal Dabre Lecho Ra'ol Tov. This is so blatantly from Hashem. It's such a nes nigla. Right? May Hashem Yatsa Dover. That it's not even proper for us to say that we give our permission, because for us to say, okay, it's like we're denying, you know, like as if we have a say in the matter. Is that, right? That's what you think. That they're so totally blown off their feet. Vayan Lavan Ubisuel Vayomru, May Hashem Yatsa Dover, Velnuchal Dabre Lecho Ra'ol Tov. Hine Rivka de Fanecho Kach Velech. Right? Gvaldik. What happens? So Eved Avram bows down. He gives everyone the rings, and they have a celebration. Okay. And about three, and then they go to sleep. Vayilainu. They wake up in the morning. He says, Shalcheni. Vayomer achecho v'ima. Let's keep, you know, what's the rush? You got to get bechachonis and preparing. Stay, you know, you got to stay for a year and get her wardrobe. Meanwhile, Rashi says, why does it say achecho v'ima? So what does Rashi say? Because Besuo, what happens is that he wanted to say no altogether. They were just saying, let's delay it. The Besuah was going to put his foot down. That's it. No way. And therefore, he ended up getting killed. Okay. So the Pliatzuma. Pliatzuma is that when the Besuah hears this, and Lavan, the reaction is, Me'ashem yatsa daver, lo nucha ledaber, elechot ra'al taif. So how come, three psukim later, which is not really very much time, the Pesuel is saying no, and he has to be killed, otherwise he won't agree. Right? That's the question. So what's the obvious answer? Because what happened in between? What?
Lost inspiration.
He went to sleep, right? He lost inspiration, which means, no, it wasn't faking. No, the first thing was real. He was real. No, not faking. No, it doesn't say he was faking. Which means it's a very, very, very simple yesod. Is that people see miracles and people get all inspired. Or you can hear a tremendous drasha, a tremendous schmooze, and the guy's a great speaker. And you're so inspired. Or you hear something in the new, and then, and 10 minutes later, the inspiration's gone. And if not 10 minutes later, by the next morning for sure, right? Next morning, you wake up, right? How many people make kabbalas on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and they get really inspired, and they really think they're so inspired, and then the next day, it's gone, right? Right? Even by the Maariv for Yom Kippur, it's gone, you know? Right? So the biggest problem, I want to highlight and try and work on a second, is that We spend our whole lives learning Musar, hearing Shmuzim, and some of the Shmuzim are pretty good. And some of the speakers are pretty good. We get some, you know, I don't know, maybe the yeshiva speakers aren't so good, but we get outside speakers. Some of these speakers are really inspiring. And, you know, you really get inspired. But we very often, we don't actually do what we end up not doing anything. And the reason is because we lose the inspiration. You know, with the inspiration lasts, sometimes here it lasts a whole 12 hours maybe, and sometimes it lasts less, sometimes it lasts a little more. But after a little bit of time, we know we can go from here, Lavan and Bethuel, they went from seeing a miracle, and they got so inspired, and then the next day, no way, from one extreme to the other. So that's the problem. So what's the solution? That's it, because that's like Chaval. We learn Musar, we hear Musar Shmuzim, we get it, but we don't act, we don't do it. Because, okay, I had this great Shmuz, but then when it comes to Maisa, because by the time it comes to the implementation, it's forgotten already. Right. So the simple solution, what's the simple solution? But we want inspiration.
Don't stop.
The simple inspiration is that as soon as you hear the inspiration, you got to do it. Right? It's a very known rule with fundraisers, that fundraisers hate that when very often the people want to make a speech on Shabbos. You know, because at Shabbos is when most people are in the shul. About them don't come to shul during the week sometimes. So they want to give it. But the problem is, the guy can't write out their check on Shabbos. Right? And then what happens? You come Sunday, that's it. You gave this really inspiring speech about your stucca and how the people are dying and starving and everyone's all inspired. But then you come to shul Sunday and try and collect money. Why should I give you? Right? So if they can't get you to write the check on Shabbos, they at least want you to make an appeal, right? They'll ask you, how much are you giving? So at least you should at least commit yourself. So there is, you have to, what you call it, hit while the iron is hot, is that the expression? Something like that. In other words, you have to try as much as you can to make a commitment to do it. Best thing would be that you actually do it.
And you work with Basul, they made a commitment, they said.
Yes, like, so the best thing is even better than a commitment. The best thing is that you actually do it already, so it's done. Right? That was my mushel that I said in Ella with the Navarnik, with the skinny bridge, right? Remember, no one remember like that, mm-hmm. That you get the train and you zoom. The best thing is you just done do it. Now, I saw a very interesting.
Who?
What?
A shmooze about the Dios. That we all have the
Dios. I didn't say so. Not every shmooze inspires you, regretfully. But there are shmoozes. Sometimes it must inspire you, no? Sometimes you hear a shmooze and it inspires you. Someone gets a shmooze about davening with Kavana and tells you that your davening can save a soldier's life. Well, so for 1 minute, you're inspired. Right? But then the problem is, how long do you stay inspired for? So that's the problem. That's the problem. Right. We're highlighting the problem. The problem is that Baruch Hashem, we get inspired all the time. Not all the time, but a lot of time. We read Musar ourselves, we get inspired. We hear a shmooze and it got us inspired. Okay. Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, we get inspired. The biggest problem is that our inspiration disintegrates. Sometimes it takes a week, sometimes it takes a day, sometimes it takes an hour. So that's a chazal. So the simplest solution is, not to lose inspiration, but that's not so easy. But the simple solution is when you get train yourself and when you get inspired to act immediately. So I saw a very beautiful Hamikdavar. Hamikdavar is written by the Netziv. And the Netziv says a very beautiful thing on the beginning of Lech Lecha. See, the problem is, it's very easy. You can say, do it right away, but not everything you can do right away. Right? Then when the guy's giving the appeal on Shabbos, you can't write out your check. Right? If you could do it right away, you know, you hear the appeal and it's on a weekday, and you can write out your check right away, okay, that would be the best. But what if you don't have your checkbook on you? Or what if it's Shabbos? So you can't write out a check right away. So then by the time you're going to get your check, I'm going to go, the guy makes a bill in the yeshiva. Says, okay, I don't have a check on me. I'll give it to you tomorrow. Well, but tomorrow I lost my inspiration. Right? That's the problem. So look at this beautiful.
It has to be something that you are able to do, though, right?
Yeah, I'm saying that's the problem. That's right. But many things.
And when you act on it, it has to be something that you're able
yeah,
to do.
Yeah, so that is Gupa. I'm saying that the best thing would be when you get inspired, do it. The problem is that many things you can't really do right away because it's not so easy to do things right away. So I saw this very interesting Hamikdavar, which I think is a little bit relating to this problem. In the beginning of Lech Lecha, it's actually, Lech Lecha is not so long ago, so you can say in Lech Lecha too, no? Not so long ago. It says as follows, Hashem tells Avram Lech Lecha. So the Pasuk says, Pasuk Dawin, Vayena, you have to listen carefully to the Pasuk, Tzukim. Vayelech Avram, Kasher Dibir Elav Hashem. Now the word Kasher has numerous meanings. Kasher can mean when or like, or, you know, how, but okay. Vayelech Avram kasher dibur elav Hashem. Vayelech ito lot. Okay. Then the next pasuk. Vayigach Avram es Sarai ishto ve'es lot ben ocho ve'es kol rechusham asher rechoshu ve'es anesh rosh v'charen vayetzu ve'leches arz kanan. So the Nesiv is bothered, but it's like redundant sukkim. The first pasuk says, Vayelech Avram, Kasher Dibre Elav Hashem. And then the second pasuk says it is again, Vayikach Avram et Sara Yishto, V'yeslop et Ochim, V'yespechor Rechush Erchoshu, V'yeshar Skarim, V'yeitzu L'lech et Har Siklan. So you could just drop the first pasuk and just say the second pasuk. Everything that's in the first pasuk is repeated again in the second pasuk. Right? I'll read it again. Vayelech Avram Kasher Dibre Elav Hashem, Vayelech Ito Lo. That's the first pasuk. Then the second pasuk. Vayikach Avram et Sarai Ishto, he took Sarah, which wasn't mentioned in the first pasuk. Vayeslov, which was mentioned. Vayeskor Rechushem, which wasn't mentioned in the first pasuk. Asher Rechushem. Vayesanash Yosemachan, which was not mentioned in the first pasuk. Vayeitzu Levechus Arta Kanan. So that's right. So he says the following word. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Avram Avinu and says, Lech Lecha. Avram is inspired. I got a personalized sivui to go. I'm ready. I'm motivated. I got to go. But wait a second. Not so practical. You got to go, but you're not a single fellow. You can just pack your toothbrush and go, right? You got a whole family. You got Sarah. You got as a nevesh asher asu b'charin. You got a few hundred, I would say, how many people? I forgot already. Hundreds of talmidim. You can't just tell everyone, okay, come on, we're going. What's going to happen? They're not going to, they can't just, they can't expect them to pick up everybody. You got all Rechusho. You got, Avram has money. You're not supposed to throw your money away. Person's mechuyev to watch your money. Just move. Well, what am I supposed to do with my property? I got to sell it. You got to change it into something that is convertible. So now Avram got a problem. He's all motivated, but he can't go. Because he has to wait for the people, he has to wait for his wife, women take time packing, I don't know if you ever get married, you'll find out, and he has to wait, she has to wait for it to sell his property. So he says like this, Vayelech Avram, Avram went himself, forget everyone, Sarah, you stay home, you pack your dresses, I'm going, forget about the Nezras Becharin, forget it, I'm going. Vayelech Avram, he's off. Vayelech ito lot. Where'd they go? Not too far. They just went. They went outside the city. They put their camp outside the city. Okay, we're on the way. Then Sarah and the Nevesh Ha'os B'charin and Chol Rechusham got packed up, and they joined them, and together they went, continued going. Right? That's what he says. He says that for the even though Avram knew he can go 10 feet and then he's gonna stop. Not 10 feet, he's going out of the city, and then he'll have to he's moving out of his house and he's gonna live in a hotel. But what's the point? No point, because you have to wait for Sarah and the Chol Rechusham. So what it sounds like from the Hamikdavar, it doesn't say it beferish, but it sounds like it's because of this point. that he wanted to, he felt if he was going to, Avram was afraid that if he would stay in Haran and spend time packing up and getting all the people, then he'll stretch and stretch and stretch and stretch. Because he's, but this way he's motivated, he does it. And then once he did already, he took the first step, and then he got stuck. But at least he took the first step. He took the first step, so then already it's right. In other words, I give you an emotional. If the guy goes ahead and I gives me this appeal for stalker, now I go home, and okay, I find my checkbook, and I'm going to see him in the yeshiva tomorrow, right? So what do you do? So you write out the check right away. You write your check, put it in your pocket, put it in the envelope, seal the envelope. Okay. Now you don't wait till tomorrow. I'll see the guy tomorrow, and I'll take out my checkbook and write out the check. Right? Whatever you can do, that's what he's saying. Whatever you can do right away, you do it. Because once you're, while you're inspired, you do. Now, the odds that I'm going to change my, once I wrote out the check, that I'm not going to give it to him, I mean, I could take and decide, you know, I what got into me? I read such a big check. I'm going to rip up the check and take it. But it's less likely. Once you went ahead and you acted, right, Avram could always go back, you know. He could. But before, once he ready, he moved out. So it's already he started. It's a very nice insight that if you don't want to lose the inspiration, so the first best thing is to do the whole thing right away. If, you know, the guy gives an appeal, whip out your checkbook, write the check, and give it, finish. But if you can't do the whole thing, try and do something. Try and start. Whatever you can start, even if you can't finish, so you say, well, what's the point of starting if I can't finish anyway? So there's no point to start. Right? That's logic. But that's krum logic. Because by starting, you made a commitment that you're going to do it. So even though the starting is almost worthless, and the starting didn't do nothing, and it you got nowhere with the starting. Avram didn't, he has to wait. He has to, anyway, wait for Sarah to pack her dresses. So what's, I don't know, I'm not making fun of Sarah, but Sarah to come, and for the all the nevi us and b'charin. So you might as well stay in your own house, Avram. What do you have to move? Yeah, you're being silly. You know, you have a comfortable house. What do you have to start? Wait on the road for them? You're going to wait for them. So might as well wait in your house. No. That's what the Hamik Darva says. That they gotta start. Right? It's a very nice insight.
By starting?
Because it's psychological. Because once you start, you're more likely to continue.
So let's say Rebbe gave a shmuz about kavana tefillah. So mincha came or Meir came and I did the tefillah. It doesn't help for the next chakras.
Okay, well, that's because maybe there's no continuation. But and there are things sometimes you have to figure out how you can start. You know, I'm not, that's your problem to figure out. I can't figure it out for you.
That doesn't help.
Yeah, well, it does help because I'm telling the structure. The structure, the application, you figure out. But the structure is that there are very, very often you could find a way to start. Avraham Avinu could have said, there's nothing I can do now. I have to wait for Sarah. I have to wait for a Nevzer Asa Bacharin. I have to wait till I, what's the word when you sell all your property? There's a fancy word for it.
Liquidate.
I have to liquidate. Thank you. That's the way I wanted. I have to liquidate. But no, I'm going to start. So many things are like that. That you could go ahead and you start, even though you it's almost like a meaningless start, but it's a statement to yourself, and you're already on the way. For sure the first start is to make a mental commitment to what you're going to do. That's for sure the first start. It's like I'm saying, you commit yourself. How much stuck are you going to give? You write the check already. You know, that's a bigger commitment. The more you can start, you know, you hear a shmuz on hasmada. So whatever you can do right now, you go buy the sefer, right? You go buy, they must have some sefer they're selling. Okay? You hear a shmuz on shtayim mikra ve'echad targum, right? So you go ahead and you buy a shtayim mikra, right? You get it. You go. You know. You start. You hear a shmuz on making a bracha achreina with a, you know, coming. You buy a thing, you know. Okay, now you started. You made a statement.
Because you don't want to do stuff that, like, without thinking about
No. I think this is because the problem is that knowing ourselves, our inspiration fizzles out. So what stops the inspiration, once you start, it's less likely to fizzle out because it's something that there's a beginning. So there's already, that's the way human nature is. Once you start, you're more likely to continue. It's the koas koas kashas. So the beginning is the hardest. Once you started something, so then you're just continuing. It's like already a conveyor belt. You're just going, continuing along. You're just saying the next steps. It's an automatic next step. So then it's much easier. But the beginnings are hard. So when I make a kabbalah, and Rosh Hashanah, I go ahead and I decide I'm going to do daf. I'm going to make a kabbalah. I'm going to do daf yomi this year, right? Okay, I'm going to do daf yomi. But the thing to do is not to wait till you get back in yeshiva after Sukkot and start your daf yomi, but Motzoi Yom Kippur, right after you finish eating, you finish your eight, you quickly take out the Gemara and you do that day's daf. Now maybe you can't do it over Sukkot because you're too busy, but you started. You know that thing. You went ahead and quickly bought the Gemara for the Daf Yomi, and you set it up. You did. You already whatever you could do. I can't actually learn it now, but I bought the Art Scroll. I went ahead and invested my $25 to buy an Art Scroll Gemara for the Daf Yomi. I did my hachanas. I did as much as I can do. Now, there's no rush. I'm not starting the Daf Yomi until after Sukkot anyway. So why do I have to go right after Sukkot? The first thing, right after Yom Kippur, right after the Suda, I have to run and buy the Gemara. Yeah, because if I'm going to wait till after Sukkot to buy the Gemara, I probably won't do it. But if I buy the Gemara right away, I'm finishing. You know, the first thing I do after I eat is I go online, assuming you can get online, and in kosher way, and I go ahead and I go to Eichler, and I order or whatever, or I go somehow talk to the kiosk, and I ordered it, you know. Okay, that's it. So it didn't make any difference. You're not starting anyway till after Sukkot, but you're committed already. I spent $25. I made that first step. It makes a very, very big difference.
So then we have, let's say, I'm in a yeshiva for a week, so you're shmooze and avad and shashuda shmooze, they get inspired three times, so I make three changes. Then another week, three changes. Then like, in a month, I make 24 things that I did, but that I wasn't doing before, and now I'm going to be able to sustain that. Like,
how about we have this problem, we'll be okay.
No, I'm saying
So therefore, your suggestion is never do anything new. So use your seichel. I don't know.
When do you know?
So you got to use your seichel. What's something? How have I? We had this problem. Most people don't get inspired three times a week.
Isn't acting on split second inspiration always dangerous?
So don't wait a split second. Do it on a wait 10 minutes. maybe you're right on a split second.
Whenever I'm inspired, I'm okay with it. I'm not going to be able to make a decision.
Okay, so wait 5 minutes. But the problem is, don't wait for the inspiration to get lost.
What is that time? Why would it be bad to do something good in a split second?
I don't know. Because he's saying maybe I'm giving too much stock. I'm not supposed to give so much stock. Sometimes it's too much. Okay, anyway, let me try and go drop for it. I don't have much to say, but I want to continue anyway.
Whatever he said is bad, that guys should make kabbalas for themselves that they could sustain.
Right.
Because if you're going to do something that you could sustain, that'll help for you all the materials, right? So by me getting inspired by tefillah and adding one part,
So you try and do something that you. There's no stira. I'm just saying when you make a kabbalah. Here we gave this example. On Rosh Hashanah, you decide you want to do daf yomi, right? That's something that you could do all year, right? I'm just giving this example. But the problem is, even if you made such a kabbalah, the odds are that if you wait till Sukkot, you're not going to do it. Because by the time Sukkot came along, all that inspiration of how important daf yomi is, I want to learn, and you'll be gone. So the trick is, figure out a way to start it. Now you're telling me that there's also other things. You got to have a kabbalah that's shaykh to keep on going. Okay, that's also true. One thing is not if they do it the other.
If you can sustain a kabbalah, then obviously you're going to do it. No?
I can't.
If you thought out a Kabbalah that you could do, obviously you're going to do it.
Well, no, because the problem I'm saying is that very, very often, I don't know about you, but I make every Rosh Hashanah, I'm a little bit, you know, many Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur has gone by where I made many Kabbalahs, and obviously I thought I could do them because I made them. And the Maisa, if you ask me in today, am I doing the Kabbalahs I made on Yom Kippur, I'm going to say, what Kabbalah, right? So he did say that suggestion, which I would say again, is you have to write down your Kabbalahs. You have to, when you get in, not just Kabbalahs, when you get inspired, it'll be the same thing. When you get inspired, you should try and crystallize what you're going to do, and then at least write it down. But all these things, is because realizing that, right, it's not just Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, all year, if you decide going to do something, so the more you crystallize immediately what you're going to do, and the more you commit yourself, and the more you start it, and one way of starting is by writing it down, but the best way of starting it is actually, then the more likely you'll keep it. But most, the biggest problem is that people get inspired, and then they lose their inspiration. Okay, let's go a drop further. I just wanted to say one last point, and then is that we're talking here, I'll be derech ha-seichel, derech ha-teva. There is also a mystical element, right? Because everything in the Torah, besides having logical things, there's a mystical thing. Many people say this. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei. I brought this. This is a Hasidish sefer from the Bnei Yisachar. So he says that the Igra is Pirkei, right? But it's also the Alshach says it. But it just, I saw him saying it. So I quote the sefer. There's a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says. Vizor mitzvah kao kamura. It says mitzvah gereres mitzvah, and then it says schar mitzvah mitzvah. Right? Are people familiar? It's a mishnah, second pack. Right? Mitzvah gereres mitzvah and schar mitzvah mitzvah. So the question is, what's the difference between mitzvah gereres mitzvah and schar mitzvah mitzvah? So the usual interpretation, there are numerous interpretations, like many things, but the most usual interpretation is one of the mitzvah goreres mitzvahs al piderech hateva, that when you do a mitzvah, you know, then it naturally causes you to do another mitzvah. You give $1 million to Staka, everyone's going to hear about it. The next day, you're going to have 50 mishalachim at your door. Al piderech hateva, you're going to give more Staka. You get a reputation that you're a giver, people will come. You get a reputation, the first mishua comes and you slam the door in his face, nobody's going to come because he's going to tell his friends, don't go there. He slams the door in your face, right? So there's a logical, natural. But the second thing is schar mitzvah mitzvah, which means it's not always logical. There are certain mystical things that even though we do not understand what the connection is, there are mystical things. There's mystical things that can cause this, that a mitzvah occurs mitzvah. They say that also in last week's parsha. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago, Parsha, that by when Sarah gave Hagar to Avram so that she should have she said that she should have a child, that wasn't necessarily logical, it was mystical, according to many people. Why? Just because she's marrying Yishma, Hagar to Avram, she's going to get a child. So some people say it's logical because Hagar's child will be considered like mine. Some people say that because I'll become jealous of Hagar and therefore the jealousy will spur my body to work better. But many, many people, if you look in the Mefarshim, learn that it's mystical. You do a mitzvah, you help Avram have a child. So you get the same thing. So there's a mystical component to many things. So that's what means schar mitzvah mitzvah. So what they say with this point is that why is that when you start a mitzvah, there's a mystical reason why you succeed. And as in the case like of Avram Avinu, saying there's no point to start. So we say logically, once he started, he's more likely to continue. But even without that, he says the fact that you started gives you a certain mystical koyach that called bod etayir mitayim also, right? B'derek shodem rosa leich malichim also. But they say, right, there's many such chazals like that. But in order to get this bracha, the b'derek shodem rosa leich malichim also, you need, I don't know if you totally, but you get more if you actually started going. So for example, in this sefer, this is this the Bnei Yisachar, but it's a different sefer. He says as follows. He quotes Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, right? All Talmidei Baal Shem Tov is that Lizoyer, that Ba'amdam Imitaso, when the first thing you do when you wake up, Hamakshava Harishaina, the first thought that you think in the day, is probably well done, right? The first thought, Va'adibur Harishin, and the first thing you say, Da'amitmaisa Harishaina, should be Lashem Yisrael, Batara Mitzvah. The first thing that you say, the first thing you do, the first thing you think is a mitzvah. And then you get a mystical thing. You have your brother, if your first child, everyone follows you, the big brother. Okay, but that's basically the concept, that when you do the first thing, that, you know, the first thing you wake up, in general, I'm a big believer, you know, the first thing you wake up, you put on your yarmulke, and I happen to believe the first thing you do is you should put on your tzitzis, but okay, try with the bracha, I don't know, what?
Before Negel Wasser?
Can you say
Moldani? You can say Moldani, yeah.
Well, before Negel Wasser.
Okay, right. I think you can do it before Negel Wasser, yes, I think so. But you can't make a bracha yet, yes.
How's Rabbi able to push it over to something that you start?
When you start, that's what the Al-Shuk says it explicitly about this, that by starting, then you get that, as she says, Hashem doesn't give this svara that the derech adam roilech leile malichim also is when you start the derech. That's what he says, it pretty befairish. He says it's a mystical thing, that in order to get, there's such a thing called siyata d'shmaya. But you know, you have to think by the Yarden, right? That the Yarden, you know, the Yamsuf. Thank you, the Yamsuf. The Yamsuf split. So when did the Yamsuf split? So they had to go in first. Moshe didn't split. Moshe comes, David Hashem. It says Dabra Bnei Yisrael Dabra Bnei Yisrael. What's the pasuk? So what Rashi says is that before the water can split, they have to go into the water. And then what happened is they went in, and it still didn't split. So what does Rashi say? Because they went, according to Rashi, they went in over their nose, but Moshe Hashem said they can still keep on walking. You can walk underwater for another second. And they had a Dabra Nesho, he saw even more. Because until you do, when you do what you can, that's when you get Siyata Shmaya. So the whatever what you do, even though it's the same idea that when you do something, so you get mystical siyata shmaya. So there's two reasons to start. The one reason to start is that it's psychological biderech hateva. It helps you not to lose your inspiration. And the second reason is you get siyata d'shmaya, because once you mitzvah gereres mitzvah, once you start. So now you get Siyata D'Shmaya to continue. But if you don't start, then you don't necessarily get Siyata D'Shmaya.
Siyata D'Shmaya to complete the mitzvah that I'm attempting to do?
Yes, that's what I should have brought the Al-Shik.
You didn't even pass that?
No. The mitzvah I'm trying to do is continuous. So the Al-Shik says to complete the mitzvah you're attempting starting. But I assume the mitzvah is, I'm going to do Daf Yomi, so you can see out to the Shmaya to continue.
It's a Havtacha that I'll be able to
and
do.
It's not a Havtacha. I didn't say it's a Havtacha. It's see out to the Shmaya.
The first thing I do is a mitzvah, then I will lead to another mitzvah, or I'll be able to finish
it. It's a continuation of the, assuming it's a continuation of the same mitzvah, it's one long thing. I have a project. I have a long project. I want to lose 20 pounds, right? I want to go ahead and finish the Masechta. I want to go ahead. So I have a project. So when you start the project, you can see after the Shema. Anyway, so that's the main thing I want to say. I don't want to get the guy.
We get this for things that are not direct.
Do your proper Ishtadas. But the Maisa, let's just summarize and we can go. So I think the biggest problem, I don't want to say the biggest problem because that's like too cliche, but the biggest problem that people have, or one of the biggest problems that people have in Musar, is we get inspired, we hear all kinds of great shmuzim, or we learn it ourselves in Messias and Sharim, but it doesn't last. We see that beferish. the classical case, this is really the classical case in the Chumash, is Lavan and Besuel. They are so inspired. Hashem Yatzah Dover, and the day later, they're on the opposite end of the fence. They're already going to say no. They're not even going to do it. They're not even going to allow it. Not over my dead body, basically, right?
Basically.
And that's the biggest problem. I really think it's one of the biggest problems. So we have to figure out ways to do things, not to lose the inspiration. The best suggestion is act as soon as possible. Assuming you think out, right? But as soon as possible, basically. That's the best suggestion. And we're saying a second voice that if you can't act as soon as possible, whatever you can do as soon as possible, do. So either start the mitzvah, at least make up in your mind what you're going to do. So you make a commitment, write it down, tell somebody, whatever. You know, make somehow crystallize that commitment. Okay, yeah, Shikaya.
Do I get the mystical idea?
Oh, then I forgot. And then there's a mystical idea, which is also continued. Yeah, okay.
Does the mystical idea work specifically in helping you finish that specific project, or it works to help for other
people? No, I think for that project.
So whenever he says to put sisters first thing on in the morning, what's...
No, because he says that he has a mystical...